Welcome back to Issues Etc. Here in the third hour, we continue Audio Open Lines. We will continue listening to PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly, the roundtable of post-election analysis regarding religious voters, not just the evangelical voters. They get overplayed. They get too much press, good and bad. Also, Roman Catholic voters seem to have played a major effect here, something you don't necessarily hear about all the time. I think the press is obsessed with the evangelical voter, sometimes to the detriment of some even-handed reporting on that the religious voter is not only the evangelical voter. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us issues, etc@kfuo.org. I mentioned before the break that Rick Santorum went down to a stunning defeat. And by stunning, I don't mean anyone surprised. I meant stunning, and I think he lost by 50%, something along those lines. It was not good. And just note what happened. When he was elected there in Pennsylvania, he pro-life, Republican, Roman Catholic. Strong senator's voice for the pro-life position. Unwavering, I should say. But he won that seat in the previous election with just 52%. And what did they do to knock him down by many more percents? They put a pro-life Democrat up against him, a Roman Catholic. Bingo, Santorum's out. At least in those states, it really does matter. Let's get back to the PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly roundtable discussion of religion and the midterm elections. A few more minutes left in it, and your phone calls afterwards, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
And I think there's an interesting flip side to this, which is after the 2004, religiously oriented Democrats and liberals said, well, my word, we better start organizing too. And you saw Democratic candidates who were people of faith being much more explicit about it. One of the stunning cases was Ted Strickland running against Ken Blackwell for governor of Ohio. Ken Blackwell had counted, as a very religious person, a Pentecostal, had counted on a strong religious vote. But Ted Strickland is a Methodist minister. In 2004, John Kerry got 35% of the vote among those who attended church weekly or more. Ted Strickland got 49%. That's an enormous swing. And you saw this happen in Pennsylvania with Bob Casey, and Harold Ford Jr. in Tennessee also campaigned explicitly as a person of faith.
So we have Democrats now in charge of the House and Senate. Michael, what do we expect in the way of legislation, in the way of investigations, and in the way of the overall tone in Washington?
Well, Bob, my prediction is the tone will be very good for about 3 days. And then I have it from reliable sources on Capitol Hill that all kinds of indictments and subpoenas are going to start coming out from various committees. And it's going to become very, very nasty.
Very partisan again?
Very partisan. Although the one thing that might save it from being that, and I would agree with something EJ wrote today, what really happened in this election was the center won. The angry left in this country did poorly in this election. Ned Lamont got creamed by Joe Lieberman. And so in Connecticut. So the debate now is between the center left and the center right, not between the far right and the far left. It's a debate in the middle that's occurring right now in this country.
But you can hear a lot of people around this town talking, perhaps very wishfully, about the idea of convergence. We're all going to work together a little better. Is that just a pipe dream?
Well, before we get to the answer to that question, a good point was made there, and that is we really are talking, and most people who watch elections recognize this, it's the center that swings the election. It's not the extreme right or the extreme left. It's the center. Now, where, I ask, would you put the average Roman Catholic voter as a religious voter? Is he far right? No. He's closer to the center. If the center swings the election. See, a picture for me is emerging here that may be more key in these last elections wasn't a shift, a big monumental shift in the evangelical voter, but just a normal shift in the center, including the Roman Catholic voter. I might be wrong. What's your take on the midterm elections? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or issues etc@kfuo.org. Let's talk to Sandy in Alton. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. Todd, I'm not real surprised. I wasn't real thrilled with the outcome, but I've seen these trends through the second term elections of, a presidency for the last several decades. So I'm not surprised. a major topic for me that didn't seem to even be on the radar screen was the border issue and undocumented amnesty program, you know, undocumented workers, all of this. I think that this is a coming crisis. It just doesn't seem like it had much play with, you know, the opinions on Iraq, the economy, although the economy is a very secure economy. This was not, you know, really presented in the media to the general voters. But anyway, my question to you is, with the undocumented being a topic within our country, where is the stance of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? As I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, the Roman Catholic Church is encouraging these families to be come across in pure amnesty. They're harboring them, and I believe the Episcopal Church is taking that stand.
All right. Well, Sandy, see if I can give you an answer here. There's no thus saith the Lord on how you handle the immigration problem, but a problem there is. The problem, I do not speak for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but I could speak as a Lutheran pastor in this capacity. The problem, from my perspective, is one of observing the civil laws that we have in this country. An undocumented or an illegal immigrant is illegal because it is illegal to enter without proper documentation. Either, and here's the solution, and here is where there's no thus saith the Lord. Either enforce the law or change the law. But the Bible doesn't tell you to do one or the other, but you got to do one or the other. You got to either enforce that law or you have to change it to bring them across. And the Roman Catholic Church has not taken any official stance on immigration. I don't know if the Episcopal Church has. There have been a few bishops, Bishop McCarrick most lately, who has expressed some affinity for the idea of amnesty, but that is not an official statement either. Catherine calls from Fenton. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Good. I have a couple of opinions on the subject. First of all, I think that it's a very important point that the Catholics made up a large portion of who swung the election. I think also independents made up the other portion of that, and I think that's mainly because the Republicans didn't use the bully pulpit as they had the opportunity to, and they didn't hammer the issues. You know, this is what we believe and why. But I also think that largely the independents in the middle are uninformed, and I'm afraid that there's a large portion of Catholics who are equally uninformed, but also they and I speak from knowing several in my extended family, they tend to be very focused on the poor, and they think that basically I find them worrying more about the poor than often other issues. So I think that becomes something they see the Democrats as being very compassionate about the poor, although I would say there's that old story about the Indian brave who goes up a mountain. A snake begs him to pick him up. He says, "No, I won't, because you'll bite me." Snake says, "I promise I won't bite me if you'll bite you if you'll just take me down the mountain." So of course the brave takes him down the mountain, and the snake bites him, and he dies. But before he dies, he says, "Why did you bite me? You promised that you wouldn't." And the snake said, "You knew what I was when you picked me up."
Catherine, thank you very much. I don't know how informed. Look, the electorate. People who vote tend to be far more informed than people who don't vote. So I would really have to see someone who's a voting Roman Catholic versus someone who's not a voting Roman Catholic to kind of make up my mind on how informed they are. Generally, people who take the time to vote, register and to vote and do all that are people who care about the issues because they know about the issues. And those who don't care about the issues also don't vote, which is a majority of Americans, so there you go. Even then, it's a minority of Americans who are electing most of the people who rule as a majority. Let's get done with PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly and their roundtable on the religious voter in the midterm elections.
But you can hear a lot of people around this town talking, perhaps very wishfully, about the idea of convergence. We're all going to work together a little better. Is that just a pipe dream?
See, I think the Democratic Party has an interest in a certain amount of bipartisanship because they want to defang some of these social issues, number one. Number two, if you ever want to do anything about the deficit, that will only get done in a bipartisan way because it's very painful work. And number three, I disagree a little with Mike. The election for Democrats produced a very interesting mixture. There were a lot of very progressive candidates who got elected to Congress. There were also a lot of very moderate candidates elected to Congress. Democrats have to figure out how to make the left and center work together as an alliance. That's not impossible, but it's hard work, and I think it will require a certain amount of civility that may spill over into bipartisan relations.
But you see, my friend EJ there is engaging in a little bit of wishful thinking there, because the fact of the matter is, well, I hope he's right, the fact of the matter is that Howard Dean and other people in the party are angry at this administration, and I think there's going to be some vendettas that are going to take out.
John? Well, one of the interesting things resulting from this election is that when the new Congress convenes in January, both the Republican caucus and the Democratic caucus will be more conservative than their counterparts in the current Congress. And that's because a lot of moderate Republicans lost, but a lot of conservative and moderate Democrats got elected. So there may be some basis for common ground that wasn't there before.
Mm-hmm. See, the other way to put it is the Republicans moved to the right and the Democrats moved toward the center.
But quickly look down the road at the campaigns for the presidency in 2008. Are we going to see a lot more religious talk, God talk, in the campaign?
I really think so, and I think in both parties, because if there's one of the lessons that will come out of Tuesday's election is that there are religious groups that can be mobilized on the left, the center, and the right. And so I think in both sets of primaries, we'll see a lot of God talk.
Mm-hmm. If you are a secular person in this country, you're going to get tired of all the God talk.
I was going to say, Barack Obama gave one of the best speeches last year, or earlier this year, on religion and politics. Hillary Clinton talks about it a lot. I think you will hear it, but I think you're going to hear it in a different tone, and that secular people are going to be able to listen to some of this talk because it links faith with tolerance and openness.
EJ, our time is up. I'm sorry. Many thanks to E.J. Dionne, Michael Cromarty, and John Green.
All right. That's the end of PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly. Look, as with all things electorate, time will tell. Randy writes this. An email from Randy. In the CNN piece, I heard the idea of evangelicals sitting out the election. We recently had David Kuo calling for evangelicals to fast from the political process. Of course, Kuo wrote the book right before the election, coming out of the Faith-Based Initiatives office, and we played some of that for you during Audio Open Lines in the weeks ahead. Would we see a call for other groups to do this, asks Randy. How about a call for a feminist sit out on the election? How about a call for homosexuals to fast from the political process? I don't think we would ever see this, says Randy. Is this something evangelical Christians are seriously pondering, or is it wishful thinking on the part of the media, which is farther left than most evangelicals? Just a thought, asks Randy. I don't know. See, I'd like to know, and what we need to do is get this Mr. Green on from the Pew Forum to find out, in terms of hard numbers, whether or not evangelicals actually, in any significant margin, sat out the election, as opposed to previous elections, whether or not they sat out the election. David Kuo did call for a fast from the political process, but in the interview that I heard with David, he said, that doesn't mean don't vote. I distinctly remember him saying, that doesn't mean don't vote. What he's calling for is evangelicals to reorient their priorities as a group away from a purely political solution for every one of the problems they perceive in society. That's what he's doing. I don't think he was trying to discourage people to vote. All right. It's time for you to vote on your favorite Issues Etc. open theme. Normally, when the show begins, we start with the music. It's very familiar. Buzz, can you get the music up, our open theme, in there for just a second? It'll take a few minutes for him to load it up here, but I want you to listen to it, just in case you haven't heard it, as though you haven't heard it a million times. We usually start with a song. It's become very familiar to our listeners. We're just toying with the idea of some new open music. There's the open music. I call it the bongos and the toot horns.
You know, we've had listeners say it sounds like Pee Wee Herman dance music. What do you think?
You mean like tequila?
What is tequila? Is that the Pee Wee
Herman? The song that he dances on the bar when he goes to the biker bar.
You know way too much about Pee Wee Herman, my friend.
All right, so anyway, you can pot that down if you want to, Buzz. That's the normal open theme of Issues Etc. We have not consulted management on any of this. What we have done is simply toyed around with the idea of opening a few hours with a different open theme, and we thought, why not put something together and let our listeners listen to it, and then vote on their favorite. Not that the favorite would be the only one we'd ever use, but we put some stuff together that we think more accurately says something about what Issues Etc. is and has become. We're going to give you a chance to vote on it here for the next few minutes of Issues Etc. You do that by calling 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. You can also email us with your thoughts on the open themes, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, these are in no particular order, and after each one of these is over, I'm going to give you a name by which you can just kind of remember which one it was. Here's the first perspective, kind of toying with the idea, open theme for Issues Etc.
It's starting to affect the mission.
I believe there's an almighty God who speaks to different faiths.
No Muslim in his right mind would ever believe this. It's usually just some touchy-feely, scratch-and-sniff Christian, quote-unquote, who spouts this type of silliness.
Yeah, I believe we worship the same God.
It's starting to affect what we do for our youth.
You see, it takes more than belief. It takes more than faith to really please God.
It's starting to affect evangelism.
I don't know what you mean by objective truth.
It's killing us.
Okay, that's the first one. I call it "It's Killing Us" because it ends with that tagline from a Southern Baptist saying in a convention last summer, "It's killing us." That's number one. Now, we're not talking about the music. Eminence Front by The Who, by the way. We're not talking about the music. What we're talking about is the introduction to the program, what people hear when they first tune in at the top of an hour. And it's intended to say something about what Issues Etc. is and does.
People can vote on the music, too. Maybe they don't like it.
Well, that's true. They can vote on the music, but I don't want this to turn into
they got a better recommendation.
I don't want this to turn into musical appreciation. What I'm concerned about is, which of these that we lay on the table would be, in their mind, the best way to open Issues Etc. every day? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Let's just call that first one, "It's Killing Us." Here's the second one.
What would it be like if we had a moratorium on issues that divide us?
I am not poor, I am not miserable, and I am not a sinner.
And spent all our time and energy focusing on reaching out to those in our world who feel like outcasts.
Why can't I talk about sin without using that word? The word will turn them off. They'll run away.
It is my hope that we will be more concerned about extending God's grace than getting it right.
Some people come into this world with affections ordered toward other people of the same gender, and some people come into this world with affections directed at people of the other gender.
The message is the mission of the church.
All right, that's number two. Let's call that "The Message is the Mission." The first one was called "It's Killing Us." The second one, "The Message is the Mission." We're asking you to vote for your favorite among these three possible, very prospective, very tentative candidates for a new way of introducing Issues Etc. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We've got two more to play for you. Or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's number three for your consideration. So far, Pastor Haggard, you've kept that commandment perfectly today.
So far today, that particular one, yes.
The fact is, I am guilty of sexual immorality.
Islam is peace.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
We need a new reformation. It's not about creeds, it's about deeds.
Deeds, not creeds. In other words, we're going to stand before God now on the basis of our works and prove thereby that we're Christian.
Happy Ramadan, Abdul.
Okay, I'm tempted to call that one "Happy Ramadan, Abdul," but the next one also ends with "Happy Ramadan, Abdul." So we're going to call that one "New Reformation." The first one's called "It's Killing Us." The second one, "The Mission is the Message." Or "The Message is the Mission." I forget what he said. And then this last one, let's call it "New Reformation." That's number three, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. And here's number four, and then I want to hear from you. Which of these four tentative, new opens for Issues Etc., we have not checked with management, This may be the only time you will ever, ever hear these on the air, and your only chance to express your opinions about them, 505-780-1800-730-2727, issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Here's number four.
I think the standard needs to be more Bible-based rather than exclusively Christ-based.
Take Jesus out of Scripture, and what a higgledy-piggledy sort of book that is.
It is certainly not in keeping with my understanding of the Scriptures.
We don't believe in sin. We don't believe in the devil. We don't believe that there's such a place like hell.
I'll never be the same. Never, never, never.
As we walk the path of enlightened service of the Buddha, of Allah, as we call upon the name of Jesus.
Happy Ramadan, Abdul.
All right, that's number four. Now I want to hear from you. I'm going to call that one Never Be the Same. You got to give Joel Osteen his due there. I'll Never Be the Same. We'll just call that one Never. Number one, it's killing us. Number two, the mission is the message. Number three, new reformation. And number four, Never Be the Same. The rest of today's show is devoted to your votes for your favorite perspective, open to issues, etc. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. The opening should always say something about what the show is, and there's so much to what Issues Etc. is. Our fans will attest to that. We thought that the open ought to say that as well, but this might be the only time you get a chance to hear it and to express your thoughts and your comments. 505-7850-1800-730-2727 or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. The list again, number one, it's killing us. Number two, the mission is the message. Number three, new reformation. Number four, never be the same. Which of these do you think? Which would you like best? If we have time, we'll play them again for you. But let's go to the phones first and talk first with Pam calling from her car. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
I kind of like just the straight music opening that you already have, but of the ones that you played, I liked the Never Be the Same one the best.
Number four.
Yeah.
All right, Pam, thank you very much. Oh, there's a lot to be said for just a straight music opening. It's kind of one size fits all. Let's see what Matt has to say, who calls from Florida. Hi, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Good afternoon.
I like the New Reformation one best, but I could give you just one little caveat if you're going to be putting these in there. Just be careful not to give people the impression that a lot of those sound bites that we've collected over the years are actually stand for what we believe.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a concern when we were putting it together. We tried to, if you listen to the sound bites, that's what these things are for, is to play the sound bites. If you listen to the sound bites, we tried to not leave the listener with those kind of impressions. But thank you for the warning, Matt. It's well taken. What about the rest of you? 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Call during this break. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Are we missing some of your favorite sound bites that should have made it in there? We tried to pick the ones that would work the best. So far, we've got a vote for number three and number four. One vote apiece, New Reformation, and Never Be the Same. We want to hear from you. Which is your favorite perspective, new issues, etc., open theme, and why? 505-7850-1800-730-2727.
For sinners only, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen, senior editor at Concordia Publishing House, on the Christ-centered cross focus of growing in Christ, the new Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House.
We've been very intentional in one, teaching the scriptures. We are concerned about Bible literacy. Pastors tell us they get kids in confirmation that they don't know any of the Bible stories, they don't know any of the Bible people. So we're trying to teach the Bible stories, the who, what, where, and when. But we're teaching them in the context of Christ. And every story, every week, be it Old or New Testament, connects to Christ as the Savior.
For more information about growing in Christ, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or find the Growing in Christ logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's a Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
Interracial marriage, is it biblical? Answers with Ken Ham, author of the challenging book, Genesis and the Decay of the Nations. Ken, you've got an interesting one here today. What does the Bible have to say, if anything, about the different races and the races getting married to each other?
Well, Mark, first of all, I want you to listen very closely to what I have to say and wait till I finish before you jump to any conclusion. The Bible does speak about interracial marriage. It's against it. It teaches clearly that those in the saved race should not knowingly marry the unsaved race, and that's all the Bible has to say about it. You see, we need to understand there's only one race of humans biologically. All humans are descendants of Adam. Thus, we're all of one race. But the Bible makes it clear there are two spiritual races, those who are saved and those who are not. Now, it's the two spiritual races that the Bible makes clear shouldn't marry. Down through the generations, Satan has tried to destroy the family unit by trying to get godly people to marry ungodly ones. You see, the family is the unit that God uses to transmit his knowledge from one generation to the next. That's why we need to teach against the only interracial marriage the Bible warns against, the two spiritual races mixing.
For more fascinating information on the topic of races and interracial marriage, read Ken Ham's eye-opening booklet, Where Did the Races Come From? It's yours free when you go to our easy-to-use website, AnswersRadio.com.
The programs you regard as special on AM 850 KFUO are made possible in part by the generosity of supporters like Edna Poker of Festus, Missouri, Gary Schumacher of Edwardsville, and Greg Sprick of St. Louis. Here at AM 850 KFUO, we truly appreciate the prayerful and financial support you show with your gifts.
AM 850 KFUO and Thrivent Financial for Lutherans has a Christmas gift for you and your family this Advent season. Comfort and joy. Three live concerts featuring artists you hear on AM 850 KFUO. Hi, this is Paul Clayton. Join me, Chris Bergman, Laurie Gower, and an ensemble of talented singers and musicians at King of Kings Lutheran Church, Chesterfield, Wednesday, December 6th at 7 p.m. No ticket required. Visit KFUO.org. Click Comfort and Joy for more information.
On the next midday, Living Jubilee, live at 11:05 on AM 850 KFUO. Join Paul Clayton and me, Diane Summers. Well, let's face it, life is full of problems. Not enough time in the day, kids that won't stop fighting, cars that won't let you merge. Phil Calloway has been dealing with these problems for a long time, and he says life is like a refrigerator. We'll find out what he means by that. It's always darkest before the fridge door opens on the next Living Jubilee.
Starting to affect the mission.
I believe there's an almighty God who speaks to different faiths.
No Muslim in his right mind would ever believe this. It's usually just some touchy-feely, scratch-and-sniff Christian, quote-unquote, who spouts this type of silliness.
I believe we worship the same God.
This is starting to affect what we do for our youth.
You see, it takes more than belief. It takes more than faith to really please God.
It's starting to affect evangelism.
I don't know what you mean by objective truth.
It's killing us.
I think it's number one. Yeah, it's called It's Killing Us. It hasn't received any votes so far. We're asking you to vote for, and when I said it's the only time you may get a chance to hear these, I mean it. We got 10 minutes left and no approval from management. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Landy's calling from her car. Hi, Landy.
Hi there. I really like the music that we have because, to me, it's very unusual. It is energizing. It's like it moves forward, and it's kind of not heavy, not light, but it has kind of a fun and an investigative feel about it. And I don't think you can ever, with words or sound bites, capture all that Issues, Etc. is. And I think I'd get tired of hearing those sound bites.
All right, Landy, thank you very much. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Let's see what... okay, this one comes from Jan in Pennsylvania. She says, I vote for none. He said, my husband came home during the segment, and he said it sounded nasty. We're longtime internet listeners to Issues, etc., and the attitude that comes through those intros instead of humor, they might be funny sound bites for the moment, but to laugh at, but not for your show's introduction. Issues, etc., to project an attitude of preaching the gospel, not sarcasm. All right, good. Let's see, Kate in Japan. We asked for your opinions. Voting for number 5, never, because others have too many strong statements that are against what Issues stand for, so that someone just tuning in for the first time might think it's Bishop Spong's Love and Radio Hour. I like that. You need to put a few more strong statements about what Issues, etc. stands for, then sprinkle in others with the faulty views there. All right, it's a work in progress. That's fine. Let's see. Where did Sarah vote? Sarah has from Kingston, Washington, has a thought on... Oh, she votes for number 3. All right, number 3. Because it seemed to make a point about how incredulous the sound bites were, and she has Whistle While You Work stuck in her head. Let's see, as time permits. Mark in St. Francis, Kansas votes for number 4. Thank you very much, Mark. Also via the email, we've got Carl, who is from Sturgis, I should say, South Dakota. Like number 4 because it has Dr. Nagel in it. Well, we had to put Dr. Nagel in there. Randy emails us, and he says, I like all of the new Laura Ingraham-like openings. He likes them all. I think you should cycle through all of them. Well, that's part of the idea. We would be cycling through all of them. Let's see. Jonathan in Howard, South Dakota says, Todd, you're focusing on all the wrong things. I love your horse's mouth interviews, but if you want to have quotes on the openings, you, your great guests, not the heretics. All right. Fine and good. Hey, how do you know I'm not a heretic? These people put way too much trust in me. It's unbelievable. Were there any more? All right. Let's see. More votes against everything. More, I'm sitting out I'm an angry evangelical voter and I'm sitting it out. Issues, etc. has done me wrong. Then votes for. Although number 4. Cue up number 4. 505-780-1800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We heard number 1 coming out. Here's number 4 that's got the vote so far.
I think the standard needs to be more Bible-based rather than exclusively Christ-based.
Take Jesus out of Scripture, and what a higgledy-piggledy sort of book that is.
It is certainly not in keeping with my understanding of the Scriptures.
We don't believe in sin. We don't believe in the devil. We don't believe that there's such a place like hell.
I'll never be the same. Never, never, never.
As we walk the path of enlightened service of the Buddha, of Allah, as we call upon the name of Jesus.
Happy Ramadan, Abdul.
All right, that's number 4. It's got all the votes. It's got 4 votes by the email and caller count. Here's number 2 with 1 vote. The mission is the message.
What would it be like if we had a moratorium on issues that divide us?
I am not poor, I am not miserable, and I am not a sinner.
And spent all our time and energy focusing on reaching out to those in our world who feel like outcasts.
Why can't I talk about sin without using that word? The word will turn them off, they'll run away.
It is my hope that we will be more concerned about extending God's grace than getting it right.
Some people come into this world with affections ordered toward other people of the same gender, and some people come into this world with affections directed at people of the other gender.
The message is the mission of the church.
All right, that's number 2, and here's number 3. It's got 2 votes. I'm calling it the New Reformation. So far, Pastor Haggard, you've kept that commandment perfectly today.
So far today, that particular one, yes.
The fact is, I am guilty of sexual immorality.
Islam is peace.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
We need a new reformation. It's not about creeds, it's about deeds.
Deeds, not creeds. In other words, we're going to stand before God now on the basis of our works and prove thereby that we're Christians.
Happy Ramadan, Abdul.
All All right, Karen writes this from Wyoming. Is that Norman Nagel I hear? Never be the same has my vote. That's a number four. Joel Osteen sounds so silly next to Professor Nagel, but not so silly next to Hillary Clinton, says Karen. Kia in Birmingham says, I don't have to vote because I didn't have to hear them all, but I think it's a good idea to scrap the music, no offense. But the current intro music sounds like the theme song to PBS's 1980s workout music. I'll register no opinion there. Lou Zimmerman, I'm sorry for giving the last name here, but Lou writes, oh, keep it the same or number four. Keep it the same or number four. All right, that's another vote for number four. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, less than 2 minutes, but a time for a few more phone calls if you want them. As I said, really, truly, after this, probably never hear them again. So if you say, hey, whatever happened to that cool music you were... You know what we're trying to do here? It's just an idea. We're just bouncing it off our listeners. What we're trying to do here, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org, is when someone's spinning across the dial, not you people who have your dials welded to issues at Saturday afternoon, but someone who's just spinning across the dial, driving through town, happens to come across this at the bottom, at the top of the hour, catch their attention. Think of it that way. Not as the lifelong, loyal, Issues Etc. listener who knows what it's about, but the person who doesn't and doesn't agree with us theologically. Remember, this is not about creating Christian ditto heads. This is not about cheerleading for the home team. This is about reaching the people who don't agree with you. Well, we'll see what becomes of this. Probably nothing. Tomorrow, we'll be talking about sexuality and spirituality. Dr. Peter Jones has a great book called The God of Sex, but he also has a unique and interesting take on how the God you worship determines the kind of view of sexuality you eventually adopt and vice versa. Then Sunday, we'll be talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery in a rare Sunday night appearance of that Christian apologist. It's from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis. We'll be answering the question, who is Jesus? Then Monday on the program, Uwe Simonetto joins us to talk about two-kingdom theology. You know, there's a lot of variety in the things we talk about here on Issues, etc. One more? Is this one more from... No. Okay. I'm sorry. Well, you guys had your chance. If nothing ever comes of it, it'll be, what, 25 minutes of radio... You can just forget if you want to. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.